Accession number 32390, Mr. Harold Checkett's Reel 5. Now, we're going to move on now from the weather side of it, because, again, time is pressed. And what about your next posting? Because you were there until September, weren't you, providing these reports for the thing. What happens then?
Well, we went back to Leon Solent, from which we were given a bit of leave, and then we had a posting, and mine unexpectedly because I had asked at the very beginning of the war that if there was any possibility of me getting to Germany, which, because I was studying German when the war started, that could they please oblige. Well, of course, for the second time they decided to send me out to the Far East. So I was very quickly, I didn't know that at the time, but my next ship was the Colossus, which was based, no, where was it in, you know, we had to start and work that one up. And
now, what rank were you at this point? Still an ordinary seaman or an
able? Well, able, you, yes, had to be, you had to be an able seaman. You couldn't go on being an ordinary after a year, or else I would have been.
Now, so what's your memory about the Colossus? When did you join her then? You'd gone to Leon Solent in September. How long were you at Leon Solent before you joined the Colossus?
Oh, not very long. I suppose it must have been 3 weeks, a month, possibly.
So we
went on leave first, you see, and then I think as soon as I got back, they said they want you in the drafting office or the quartermaster or something. So I had to go along, and they said, "Here's your draft ship. You're going up to."
Now, what was HMS Colossus?
Well, it was a light fleet carrier, and I think it was laid down in about the same month that the Prince of Wales was sunk. The Prince of Wales, of course, being the last battleship, possibly one of the last that was ever built, you know, completely. So it was aircraft really replacing battle wagons. And so it didn't worry me. It was terribly cold, though, that winter up in, where was I?
Scarpa.
No, not yet. No, before that. I was...
Edinburgh.
Yes, I was...
Where was she when you joined her? Edinburgh?
That's what I'm just trying to think. Oh, no. It was that little place. Not Kilmarnock. No, it was... oh, dear.
Doesn't matter. So what were you doing there aboard? She was just getting ready, was she?
Yes. And
working up trials?
Well, she was pretty bare when I first remember. We hadn't got the planes on board, we hadn't got anything, and I remember it was so icy, and one of my jobs as a Met person was to go up the mast as high as I could and take temperatures up there. You had to take the wet and dry bulb thermometer regularly up there, and I didn't fancy that at all. And then when you came back down onto the upper deck, it was nearly always ice covered when we were up there. And Anyway, we all settled in. I had a mess down below the flight deck. My mess. I was with 22 others, I think, this time, and I had with me another wartime only person, a chap named Tubby Tockwood, and we two were in charge of a mess of young people, all young people who'd never been on board anything before, almost. And so our job was to help to get them into trim and to sort of settle into the ways of an aircraft carrier. And of course, I was still doing meteorology. I was the only one on board for quite a while, apart from the Met officer. So we had to carry on doing the Met job, and it was my job again to keep the records in a book, as well as issue, do the charts, and he would read it and tell the captain and all that, you know, what was going on. And there were four of these light fleet carriers at the same time. There was the Colossus and the
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the others.
There were four of them.
They can look it up. Now, what were you doing then? So, I understand you were working it. Then what happened next?
Well, we started to prepare the ship. You know, the ship has to be worked up and become efficient. And so we would sail round sometimes to the other side of Scotland. We were on one side and then the other, swapping around, getting to know what the ship could do. And I remember coming up the, I think it was the Firth of Clyde on one occasion, when the wind was so great coming up the up the Clyde, you know, being funneled, that we attained a speed, I think, of 75 knots with this. So we had to sort of find our way around in fogs and everything else. Well, that was, of course, to do with navigation rather. But
then what?
Then we gradually got efficient enough to sail. Now, when did we sail? We sailed, you know, by the when we finished our job before, the Germans were still at it, you know, and they're still going until the next May. And when they finally surrendered, the Germans, that was exactly when we were all these light fleet carriers going through the Mediterranean on the way to the Far East, again, as far as I was concerned. And so we then proceeded.
How did you react to V-Day? Did you have a celebration on board or anything?
Oh, there was a something, but it wasn't much, because, of course, we were going away from the UK and the West, where the real celebrations were.
So what happened next then?
So we went on, and we got... got to Alexandria, where this other rating, Tubby, my friend on the mess, was excellent at sailing. We had got one of the sailing boats off the ship and did trips out into the Med a little way, you know, and avoided all the spikes and things of the buoys, you know, the UOIs there, to and learned how to sail. With him, he was splendid. In fact, we sometimes had officers on our little.
Once they get as quickly as you can.
Yes, I know. And then, of course, we went eventually through the. Oh, look. The airplane. Yes, we then went to Aden and.
Australia.
Aden, and I think we helped to supply Aden with electricity from the ship. Then we went on into the Indian Ocean, of course, down through, and went to the west of Australia, skirted down along, round through the bay of South Australia, where we got bashed about so badly, the front of the ship in a gale that they hadn't seen the likes of for ages. We got so bashed about that it badly holed the forward part of the ship, which we knew when we got round to Sydney, if we ever did, that it would have to be repaired. Because and so we were in Sydney for several weeks being repaired.
Were you there when the Japanese War ended then?
We were there until the Japanese War ended. It ended the day we left Sydney for Leyte Gulf. And Leyte Gulf always intrigued me, because we went up to where the biggest battle, naval battle of the war, had been fought between the Japanese and the Americans. And Leyte was great fun, really, because... We could go ashore in our boats and go for a swim or whatever, and we got caught there. Another little adventure. There was a gale blew up that was turning the houseboats of the the sea dayak type of people. The sea were around the fringes of Leyte Gulf on the shore normally, but they'd got their boats in the middle to do their fishing and so on, and it turned some of them over. So we helped to rescue some of the people from the boats on our way back, instead of us being blown over our particular cutter that was out, which Tubby was sailing, and I was on board, and I could tell you all the names of the people on board. well, I got not all of them, but quite a few of them, and we got you know, talking, mixing with the Americans, and you know, and of course one of the big questions was, should we have dropped the atomic bombs? And I was always against that. I thought, well, you know, it's a poor way to end the war. I was very pleased to come across some Americans, just not many, who agreed with me. I mean, most people wanted it over quickly. But I remember that very well. And then we went on up to off China. And I remember we went to Korea and picked up some of our prisoners of war who had been with the Japanese. And I used to stay up at night to listen to what they had to say. And then, of course, it wasn't very long again after that before my discharge came through, because, you know, I'd been in quite a long time, and they wanted to retrieve me, goodness knows why, back into the United Kingdom. And so the next thing I knew, I was dropped off at Trincomalee when we got there. And I had to cross Ceylon on my own by the railway, which was quite exciting. I got to Colombo, and from there I was put onto a ship, which I can't remember the name of now, to bring me back to the United Kingdom.
So when were you demobilised?
I was demobilised in, I think it was March 1946. Must have been 46.
Now, the last thing is, what was your post-war career? Because, you know, what did you pursue as a career after all this? Not to go through it, just what you were.
Well, it had changed my career. And in the end, I went for training at... I went back to Bristol for training in primary education, which I greatly enjoyed. I enjoyed doing the practice teaching in Bristol, and then I enjoyed it. I taught locally here. I'm terribly local. Our family's been in this area for 500 years, and they're you know, what I call the arch stick in the muds. And I taught in Defford first, then in Breeden, and then I was spotted by the college in Worcester, and they appointed me as a lecturer in education in Worcester. I mean, I'd been interested in education and read into it all, so, you know, inside out almost. And so it was very congenial to me. And then, of course, I loved lecturing as well, and did some extramural for Birmingham in addition to keep myself busy. I mean, I enjoyed all the work I've done, including in many ways the Navy, which, of course, I did find exciting. I mean, I was lucky to get away with a great deal, I think, when I look back.
Thank you very much.